Colville in the Northern Coromandel may just be 80 kilometres from Thames, but the drive there is a slow one. It'll take more than an hour and a half to weave around the coastline and head up and over hills to reach the tiny community. Greg Taylor has lived there for more than 40 years, and most days he puts flags out at the bottom of a steep driveway to let passers-by know they're welcome to pop up to his showroom. So I did.
I was a misfit to society, and I think the whole area is full of us. And once I got here, I felt I was home for the first time ever.
You worked in forestry when you first got here?
I actually grew marijuana and went to jail for a while when I first got here. I was a gardener. Yeah, I don't know what I was doing here. Building, making a garden, making a house, making a road.
But you had been working in forestry in Tokoroa.
I was born a bushman's son, yeah. Like, I've worked in the forest since the 60s, I suppose. I used to teach people how to cut trees down, break out, drive bulldozer, do skid work. Yeah, I've done gardening, I've done property development management for the corporate world. I've done a lot of things, sawmilling.
And you've been a petrol pump attendant at the general store?
Yeah, about 40 years ago, yeah. It's a good shop. It's not only a shop, but the social workers, all them girls down there. Because sometimes we go to the shop, we haven't spoken to anybody for days. You know, well, all the shop keepers are all sort of like social workers.
Did you really go to prison?
Yep.
Yeah, where did you go?
Started at Waikeria, Hautū, then Mount Eden. For a bag of herbs.
How big a bag?
It's quite a big bag. Like a suitcase. Going through a broken marriage, lost half of what I own, so this junkie, which I'd never even seen marijuana before when I was growing up, junkie said, oh, let's go marijuana. I said, what's that we get caught? Oh, like a parking ticket. I got caught and he got the crop.
Today somebody wouldn't be
today, if I got caught with that, I'd probably get to clean the school for a couple of months. In prison, well, actually, they had big crops growing in there with the screws, selling it through to jails.
But now... you make furniture, wooden furniture.
Yep, now I make wooden furniture, as you can see, and grow vegetables. And cook, I'm a great cook. Christmas cakes, apple pie, roasts, I'm quite famous for roasts. Usually cook what I grow only, actually.
We've got a huge vegetable garden.
There's carrots, parsnips, kumaras, potatoes, salad, and that one. And then there's other stuff over here, zucchinis, pumpkins, tomatoes, everything. Sheep, but mainly I've been logging and milling and selling timber, selling furniture, sending logs all around the world.
There's quite a bit of forestry in this area.
Yep, I got my own.
Is it all regenerating bush out here?
Yep, I've got virgin native bush on the back of my place where I get my water from. There's pigs there, kiwis, thousands of kiwis, they're bloody noisy things, man. And now it's so dry on the hills, they're coming right down close to the flatlands looking for worms, you know, because they can't get their beaks through the dirt because it's so dry up in the mountains. We need some rain for the kiwis.
When you moved up here initially, what appealed?
The isolation, I think. Isolation. There was hardly any people living here. My nearest neighbours that way were Waititi Bay, which is 4 or 5 k's away. Nearest neighbours that way was probably 3 or 4 k's away. So there's probably, in this region, there's probably 6 people living, maybe 7. Being a bushman, I quite like being isolated.
But you don't mind people popping in?
Oh, no, I love yapping. Yep, 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 yep. Was a union delegate for a while.
There's a strange mix, or an interesting mix, I suppose, of people up here. There are sort of people who came up here when the community started.
The hippies.
And, yeah, and then there are...
I tried to be a hippie, but...
Didn't work.
No, they told me I was too much of a redneck. They were all high... Mostly they were highly educated, all them people. Didn't fit in. They're on a different wavelength. I'm into killing things like possums, and I like cutting big trees down. The bigger the tree, the better.
Tell me about the things that you make out of timber.
Well, yeah, I let the timber tell me what to do with it. Like my father taught me, you should try to cut what's in the forest, you know, rather than trying to make something out of blah, blah, blah. Like you go to a forest, right, and you have to get 12-metre logs out of trees that don't have them. So I do the same with my woodwork. I look at the piece of wood. Actually, I look at the log, and when I mill the log myself, I see the what I'm going to get out of it when I mill it. You know, the shapes. I like shapes. I don't like square things because they're quite boring for a dyslexic person. They're too hard to make. But I remember as a child, at a certain age, I got this beautiful wooden pencil box, you know, and they had all the different pieces of New Zealand native woods engraved in them. Nearly every kid had one, I think. And they said, now make sure you write your name on it, Greg. I said, I'll do better than that. I'll carve it in with my pocket knife. And I spelt it wrong. Yeah, got Taylor wrong. That was the laughing stock. Here's where I make me stuff. Over here's a nice piece of puri.
When you look at that shape, what do you see?
I see a freestanding kitchen island or a bar. It's like a piece of flipping steel, that wood. It's puri.
What colour will that be?
Black. That's Matt Carper, and over here's Cape Cod Chair Production. Over there's a bookcase I was supposed to be building for somebody. Paid me a commission to get going.
So how much of your work is commission and how much is just, you know, people coming in off the street?
Yeah, well, I try to avoid commission work because unless they want me to do my style. But I usually boo-boo on the price and end up doing it for half the bloody price. Because they say, will you make me, and how much will that cost? And I go, how the hell would I know? But they want a price. How the hell do you know if you've never made something before what it's going to cost? And then you're far out, I'm doing this for nothing again. Look, I get that feeling quite regular, that I boo-booed on estimation. And a friend of mine who's a professional joiner, he said any commission work he charged double. I just can't do it.
You said you're dyslexic. Yeah. What was school like for you?
Bloody hell.
Just awful.
It was horrible. I was so glad. I wanted to leave when I was about 10 or 12. I asked my father if I could leave. No, you're not allowed. I was already working in a garage 60 hours a week before leaving school. I could run the till, I could grease the cars, I could give Warren a fitnesses, pump the gas, fix the tyres. Didn't have to write anything.
So it's putting words on paper that's a problem.
Yeah. Don't get me to write you a letter.
Numbers are fine?
Numbers are great. Over here I'm building a chair. There's a chair there.
So this is your template.
That's the word. God, you got your onto it.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what it was called. So I'll have to do an extra cut here because it's just to get the strength. You want strength in the back because people swing on chairs and they think they use them for scaffolding, they use them for swings, and chairs fall to bits. So I like to make my chairs with, say, 4 to 5 pieces of wood so they're strong. You know, if you've got 20 pieces of wood in a chair, you've got 20 more weak points. So I make them solid legs, solid back, solid seat.
And no two pieces would be the same, would they?
Never. Yeah, never the same. I've had people come in here and ask for me to make them a nest of tables. Yeah. Go to the warehouse. But yeah, I've made stuff on commission that's gone to Sweden, Switzerland, a few shipments to one place there, Holland, Scotland. You know, people have got me to make a dining suite for their castle in Scotland and got stuff in all around the world, actually, America.
So under here, is there native wood?
Or? No, it's all macrocarpa. Here's native here, that's all cowrie there. This cowrie was a big log jam up in one of my valleys where I get my water from, and after a big storm, one log started to repair, so I took my bulldozer up the gully and chipped away and pulled out this one huge log. It was about 9 metres by 1100 across. Had the axe scarf in it, you know, from the old Bushman days.
Wow.
You could still see it. And I got that out, and then after every rain, all the logs that were jammed behind the ice started popping out. And over a couple of years, I got probably 50 to 100 ton. One log was black, and all the woodwork's been black. Beautiful colour.
In the past, when we had tourists in New Zealand, you had woofers come through.
Yep.
And what sort of things did you get them to do?
Well, if they loved cleaning, I loved them to stay, but most of them wanted to come and learn how to do this woodwork because they have a website, or a lot of them are woodworkers from the other side of the world who make square shit like this and want to learn how to make nature stuff. You know, go with what God gave you, a shape. And here's my chainsaw bay. As you can see, that's all the dead chainsaw department. You're always going to have a lot of dead chainsaws and some that may go one day if you're a bushman. And when I started logging in Tokoroa, we used to have 125 McCulloch's, 125cc things. Oh, my God, I could hardly lift one now. Look, you come here and get this big, bloody heavy husky barn, eh? It's still a bit sore, it still goes, but you feel the weight of that kind of thing. It's huge.
Oh, gosh.
You got to run around with that all day. Meh, 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 meh. You might put wheels on it to drive it to the next tree.
Woodworker Greg Taylor, who lives near Colville.